Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, told Caleb, we're drafting you no matter what. And so really his only option was to try to do what Jack and John Elway did in 1983, and that's, you know, go after a city and make it, the situation untenable. Carl Williams was ready to do it if that's what his son wanted. But at the end of the day, Caleb didn't want to. And as he told me, I wasn't ready to nuke Chicago. And, you know, after he visited the Bears, he came back and said, you know, I can do it here. I want to be a Bear.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of Seth Wickersham. He's got a book coming out about Caleb Williams, and that was part of what he is writing about. Talked to his father, and Caleb wasn't enthused to go to Chicago, and they thought about trying to get out of it, but he's here, and he's the quarterback, and we are delighted to welcome in our Jim Miller. He was famously the Bears quarterback and nicknamed our Jim Miller by Jerry Angelo, and will always be our Jim Miller, and we welcome him to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you again, man.
Yeah, always great to talk to you. And I got to tell you, I was really excited about the idea of just asking you a few questions about film study, because there were two parts to this story. The first is, to me, yesterday's news. It's, you know, the kid didn't want to come here. Well, I mean, that doesn't stop my world. I don't blame him for looking around and saying, you know, God, they got a guy in Minnesota that seems to be really good with quarterbacks. Wouldn't it be great to go there? Well, that, you know, you can't control that. So he's here, and you look at it, and you move on. The thing that really froze me about it all was that he didn't get any help watching tape. There was a complaint made, and I don't know if he said it or if his dad said it or how it came to be, but the idea that either he didn't ask for help or they didn't give him help and he was left on his own to look at tape. And it just made me wonder, like, how much of that is on him? How much of that is on them? How, like, just as a quarterback, I always just assume that quarterbacks watch tape for a living. That's the job.
Yeah, it's a part of the job, but you know, say the typical week, say you get done with a game, right? Game's on Sunday. Say it's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. You're going to go in the next morning and you as an offense are going to watch the whole game, right? Everybody is graded. There's a plus. You get graded a plus or a minus. Either it was a grade that passed or a grade that failed on every single play. And then you'll do it as an offense. That way everybody knows who has failed, who has passed, who's doing their job, who's not doing their job. And then, of course, you break out into your position meetings. Then you'll go into the quarterback meeting room and you'll kind of go through and you'll watch that tape again. Okay. And hey, this we need to do better. This we failed at. And, you know, all those coaching points in order, because you're going to run similar plays as the year goes along. So you've got to correct your mistakes, right? And then typically during the week when you're preparing for your opponent, every day there's an install. You've got your base offense, say on Wednesdays. You've got your blitz on blitz install, say, on a Thursday, and then, say, goal line short yardage in 2 minutes on a Friday. During those meetings during the day before practice, you are watching tape on your opponent. So your base offense is, what, first and second down? So you're going to watch first and second down plays. Hey, here's the defenses that they run. So you're getting that tape study prior to the game. Now, you as a quarterback, you got to do extra. You know, you're going to go home or you're going to stay after practice and say on that Thursday when you do the blitz install, hey, third and five, third and medium, they run these blitzes. Third and short, they run these blitzes. Third and long, they run these blitzes. And you have a great understanding in those coaches' meeting rooms of what you're being exposed to, of what they're bringing. And then you should do a little bit extra. Right. You know, what if they do something that we're not prepared for? Maybe it's a corner blitz that they haven't shown before. You need to be aware of that as a quarterback, and that's where you got to kind of do some extra work. And now, whether he was getting that, I got to believe he was getting that during the week. Now, how much extra he did, I couldn't say for sure, but that's typically how it's gone, no matter where I've been.
Jim, based on the information we got last week from that article, based on the book that Seth Wickersham's writing about the quarterback position, did you hear anything that the Bears should be concerned about as it pertains to Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I talked to Ryan Poles at the Combine. He said steps were missed with Caleb. So, and I just read between the lines with what DJ Moore said in training camp, that basically they would run plays and they weren't completed, and it wasn't, how should I say, a coach needs to be emphatic about what needs to be done. Maybe somebody does a job that's done half-assed, excuse my language, sure, and it needs to be done the correct way. And if the coach allows that to happen, you're kind of, how do I say, enabling that kind of behavior. And so, you know, when steps are missed, you know, I assume that means with film study or think corrections weren't made or certain things were acceptable that probably were not acceptable. And thus, that's the result that you get and why Shane Waldron was fired, whatever it was, week 9 or week 10, because it looked like crap out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore the fact. I get it. I think that we talked about that Mike Vrabel, they're doing this, you know, Foxborough kind of forged in Foxborough little show. And on it, he's talking about what his job is now and what he's got to do. And he says, I don't give a whoop about last year. And I'm sure Ben Johnson feels the same way. He knows what he's got to do and what needs to be done. And I'm sure he's not picking apart last year, Jim. But
yeah, he can't.
No.
He can't. You're right, Mike. Yeah. And here's the problem with any new coach. You can't assume, even when the Bears drafted Caleb Williams, they can't assume that Lincoln Riley taught him everything.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Lincoln Riley is going to have different offensive rules than what, say, Shane Waldron had. Okay, so Ben Johnson comes in there, and he's going to say, I don't care what Shane Waldron was teaching here last year. I know this is what I'm installing. This is what I need done in order for this offense to be executed properly. And so no steps can be missed, and you can't assume that Caleb understands what a cat blitz is, a corner blitz, or protections. So Ben Johnson is going to come in here and say, hey, this is our five-man protection. This is how I want 50 protection run. This is what you as a quarterback are responsible for. If they bring six, you're hot. Now, if you redeclare the mic, you know, because I've always explained, imagine for the listeners out there in Chicago, five-man protection. You've got five offensive linemen, five on five. It's numbers, right? It's numbers. So if a defense is in a four-man front, your offensive linemen are responsible for those four-man front plus one more guy. Typically, that's going to be the Mike backer. But let's say the Mike backer doesn't come and the Sam backer now comes. Well, redeclare the Mike. We're now going to make the Sam the Mike. Okay, so that's still five on five. So you got to know your protections. You've got to know numbers. And that's the same with five-man protection or six-man protection or seven-man protection. It's a numbers game. And clearly, when you're being sacked 68 times and you lead the league, which the Bears have led the league the last 5 years in sacks, guys don't know their protections. They don't know them. And if I were them, if I were Caleb, I'd know my protections. That way you're not getting sacked 68 times a year. Unless you like your manhood getting driven into the dirt every week, that's up to him. I didn't like doing that. I didn't like being in the training room. So I suggest Caleb Williams get on board, learn his protections so that he can execute his job properly, and it'll help out his offensive linemen as well.
So how much confidence do you have that Ben Johnson and the new coaching staff can get Caleb Williams to do what you just described, to take a step based on whether it's a new scheme or whether it's just a second season with increased comfort level? Where's your confidence level, Jim, that Caleb Williams can take the next step?
Well, he's kind of got no choice. If he wants to succeed in the National Football League and earn another contract, he's got to do his job. He's got to perform. He's got to know his reads. You know, think about DJ Moore, who can't be unprofessional and walk over to the bench and sit on the bench during a play. You want to know why he did that? Because the ball should have been out of Caleb's hands and in DJ Moore's all day long and twice on Sunday. So it tells me the quarterback doesn't know his reads. So he's got to do his job. He has to know his assignments. Otherwise, his teammates won't get frustrated like that and go sit on the bench, because DJ Moore's basically sending a message to everybody, I'm wasting my time out here. What am I doing this for? My quarterback can't throw the ball versus off coverage. He doesn't even know what an out route is in off coverage to hit his receiver. So Caleb Williams has a lot of work to do. He's very talented. He's capable of doing it. But Ben Johnson, there are no kid gloves here. I mean, he's got to be able to do this stuff. Every NFL quarterback has to be able to do these things. And so that's Ben Johnson's challenge. Those players haven't earned anything in Chicago. There has not been enough winning. So that's why Ben Johnson's there. So if you don't want to do it my way, I'll find somebody else who will.
You know,
the way it is.
He came out, in fairness to Ben Johnson, and again, and hopefully this reflects with Caleb, he came out in his first news conference and said he has to be able to see the game the way I see it. It's important for the quarterback and the play caller to see the game the same way. That means the two of us watching tape. That means us breaking down tape and going over. I would imagine, Jim, that that process has already started. And I would imagine that you know, and it, you know, as we all know, if you know, it's one thing to say you want to be great at something, but if you want to be great at it, you put in endless hours of that, and both the head coach and the quarterback need to be going through it together, so they know exactly what each other is thinking as they look at it.
Yeah, absolutely, and any. Throughout my whole career, and I was with a lot of teams, every play caller ran our quarterback meetings. Meaning when I arrived in Pittsburgh, Ron Erhardt was our OC. Ron Erhardt had coached in Super Bowls. He was the OC, but he also was the quarterback coach. He was the play caller. And that's anywhere I've been, it's been like that. So Ben Johnson, if he's indeed calling plays, he should be running those quarterback meeting rooms, especially at this point in time, the second year of Caleb Williams, for that very reason that you just said, Mike. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. How do you want this play executed? How do you want it done? What do you want me to check to if they run this blitz? How are we going to deal with this, coach, if this happens? And that's for the coach, who's the play caller, to lay that all out for the quarterback. And then when you call that play in that huddle, you got your checklist. You're going up to the line of scrimmage. All right, if they're in this, I'm checking to this play. If they do this, I'm checking this play. It's called a checklist. And you just go through that checklist. And once you're done with that checklist, say, hey, man, I got the green light. Everything's the way I want it. Let's go. But you got to hear it from the horse's mouth so you know exactly how he wants it executed.
So what are your expectations for the Ben Johnson offense and Caleb Williams in his second season?
I think it's going to be better. I think, you know, I know a lot of people criticized John Shoup when I was there. John Shoup, he was very detailed. I felt very prepared every game that I went into terms of what was going to unfold and what was expected of me. And I think Ben, because he has used John as his mentor, and
right.
and John was very detailed, and I felt very prepared. And I expect there will not be anything that is not covered by Ben Johnson for what Caleb needs to do. And there will be no excuses by Caleb when a play fails or when it works of why it did and why it didn't and what he has to do better the next time. And then if there are some gray areas, they'll work through those. And there always are gray areas, you know, but for the most part, you've got a base that you can work off of, and it'll expand. It'll get better and better. But, you know, I think Ben is approaching it the right way. There's no depth chart. Everybody's got to earn it for a good reason. You know, those guys haven't done a lot of winning. It's great to blame the next coach or whoever could be the next coach, but, you know, Ben Johnson's not responsible for the sins of the past. Whatever Shane Waldron didn't do, he's got to do his job in order to get his quarterback playing at an elite level, which he's capable of doing. And they've got to be on the same page, and I think Ben is approaching it the right way, absolutely the right way.
I'm sure by the time you got to the NFL, you were a master at watching tape, understanding preparation, knowing what you needed to do. And then it kicks into another level. And as you mentioned, going to different places, I'm sure there, you know, you're watching other quarterbacks and how they learn and what they do. Is it possible? And I feel like we're being a little bit unfair to Williams because I don't know who said what or how it was said, but I saw Kurt Warner kind of implying on Twitter that, you know, hey, ask for help and they'll help you. You know, this is your responsibility. But is it possible if you are like some very gifted Heisman winning quarterback that you didn't feel you needed to watch tape or you didn't watch as much tape as you need to watch? Who was the best guy watching tape that you were around? And is it more of a general everybody?
Yeah, I was always around quarterbacks that watched a lot of tape, from Neil O'Donnell, you know, even when I left the Bears to and joined Tampa. Brad Johnson really was, that guy was a worker bee, man. That guy, and if you go look at Brad Johnson's record in the NFL, the guy's got like a 65% win percentage as a starting quarterback. He prepared himself accordingly. But at the end of the day, you're out there, you're responsible for 10 other guys. You know, so it's not just your position, it's every other position. I remember even when we drafted Anthony Thomas, you know, out of Michigan, and he had just a tremendous rookie year, and he didn't know the protections. He didn't. He was focused on, he knew when he was going to get handed the ball, and he, you know, different defensive fronts. So I'd just turn around and I'd tell him, hey, man, we're in 62 protection. I go, it's a 4-3. I said, Anthony, you got the Will backer. If the Will backer does not come, check your wide route. He'd say, all right. You know, because he was still sorting it out. Tell the other guys what they got to do. Just tell them their job. Tell them what they have to do in order for you to have a positive play as an offense. Make their job easier. So you should not only know your assignment, you should know the 10 other guys' assignments. So like when Ahmad Merritt got in the game, hey, Ahmad, versus cover two, you're taking the middle. You know, you just give out subtle hints, you know, because you can tell when you're calling a play and maybe it's not registering and your teammates, you see their eyes flickering a little bit and they're a little bit gray. What's my assignment on this? Just tell them what they got to do, because in order for you to be a successful offense, you want to have positive plays. Like I said, you get graded on every play, positive or negative. That's how it is on every single play. And you want to have a positive play. You don't want to have negative plays. So there's no shame in telling the guy what to do. You're trying to succeed as an offense altogether, and you're trying to bring young guys along. You've got veterans there, and you're all in it together. And the coach understands that too. He's in it together. So you're kind of a coach on the field. You got to be able to do that as well. And that's hard on Caleb. He's a young quarterback that all this is thrust on him, but you know, that's part of it too. And he's going to grow. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. He's too talented not to. Too talented of a player not to. And there's a lot on his plate right now. And this is a big year for him. A very big year.
Hey, great stuff, Jim. Really, you help us understand that. That's excellent.
Thanks
really
a lot, Jim. It.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is our Jim Miller. That's great stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's important to understand the game through the eyes of the quarterback, and you can't you know, I can understand different position players coming into the league and trying to figure things out. The quarterback just needs to know. It's just as simple as that. And I'm not saying this kid doesn't or didn't work hard, but I'd love to have a Q&A with him about it.
Yeah, it'd be great. I don't know if we'll hear from him today, but we'll hear from him eventually to find out exactly what he said and how he said it and what's ahead for Caleb Williams.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
There's no shame in telling the guy what to do. You're trying to succeed as an offense altogether, and you're trying to bring young guys along. You've got veterans there, and you're all in it together. And the coach understands that too. He's in it together. So you're kind of a coach on the field. You got to be able to do that as well. And that's hard on Caleb. He's a young quarterback, right? that all this is thrust on him, but you know, that's part of it too. And he's going to grow. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. He's too talented not to. Too talented of a player not to. And there's a lot on his plate right now. And this is a big year for him. A very big year.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Great conversation with Jim Miller. Fun to talk to a quarterback about playing quarterback and the expectation level here in Chicago. And certainly Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick in the draft, and coming off the season where, my God, the number of times he was sacked, everything that went wrong with the Bears. And, you know, am I the only one? And when I'm reminded of some of the stuff that Ryan Poles noticed at the beginning of the year that played out negatively at the end of the year, isn't that like, oh my gosh, if only someone who knew, who had power, could have done something about
So finish that thought. So that bothers you or still it, rankles you?
It
or?
Still rankles yeah. me. Rankles me.
I have to say this. I mean, the fatigue level for relitigating the pre-Ben Johnson era is building up for me. I really understand the value of all that we have talked about and continued to discuss, but now it's like, that's why the staff is here. That's like,
yes,
that what happened with Ryan Poles and not seeing things at training camp. And yeah, we called for him to be fired. He was given a reprieve. You know, we wanted Matt Eberflus fired, and he was. Shane Waldron is long gone.
Right.
Just a bad memory.
Right.
Caleb Williams starting over. This is hitting reset. And Jim Miller's right about this. I think that this is a big year for Caleb Williams, but he's also an exciting one for him. He's got to be able to take advantage. And until we hear from Caleb Williams, I really am reserving a lot of judgment on just how mature or immature he was or is, because the context is missing from this conversation. And what happened before Ben Johnson arrived is relevant to how last season transpired. But I just don't know if there's a connection between that and what to expect now, because it's a whole new game. It's a whole new career, and it's a whole new lease on his NFL life.
But all I'm saying is, I suppose, if I really get down to nitty-gritty, I completely understand what you're saying. I think it's an excellent point that we have to understand the context of what Caleb may have said where and when and who said it and whether there was a complaint or whether there was an understanding. But, David, people that were here that made decisions, people involved in the decision to hire that offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. they're still here. And that's what rankles me when I go over it again. It's not good enough to have noticed something. The only thing that's good enough is to have stopped it. And I get it. We've moved on, and now it's on Ben Johnson, and he'll notice it. He'll presumably stop it, and things will be different and much more professional. But it just I don't know that I can get past the fact that you know, that people who were there when are still here now, and I'm not sure there's been enough I don't know. I mean, it's one thing to just say, well, it was the last coaching staff's fault, but I think that the implication of the father not wanting his son to come to Chicago is that the quarterbacks go here to die. That implication is the people who helped quarterbacks come here and die are still here.
Hmm.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah, it was an accurate depiction of the Bears from the outside, certainly. Yeah. There's nothing that Carl Williams said that was wrong in terms of his expectations and based on history. But I don't know. I think if you're hoping that there's going to be some sort of solution to the problem you pose, it's not happening.
No, the only solution will be if Ben Johnson is as good as we think slash hope.
That to me is the focus here. Is you know, we talk about what's the story? What's the real story? The real story is that, like, the cynicism about the general manager or the infrastructure of the Bears, it's well earned and appropriate. It's also very much like it's last summer's.
It's yesterday's news.
It's old news.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson has an opportunity here, and the expectations are enormous for him.
Co-favorite coach of the year.
Although we've been down that road before with the coach of the year, but I think the expectations are so enormous because there's almost like the hope, if you want to call it that, or maybe the expectation that he will be good enough to overcome, to be the most powerful voice and person in that building, and he essentially is on the hierarchy below the general manager, but believed to be the most powerful person, most powerful football decision maker at Hallis Hall.
You know, he's coming off of 3 years running the number one offense in the NFL. That doesn't happen by accident. It also is a fact that he had a pretty good guy there securing the talent for him, and he had another guy there kind of overseeing what he was doing. So it is a step up for Ben Johnson, and hopefully all those other things come into play with it. There's no shadow of a doubt that the Bears have a lot of talent floating around here, but I'm not gonna let it go is when Dexter advised me to do. I feel like you still gotta know what happened, and you gotta kind of be aware of all of it, and that's all. I'm very excited about Ben Johnson. I think he's going to do a great job, and I think we're going to see a lot of improvement from Caleb Williams because he now has someone that he can work with and that he can be in lockstep with.
Well, all the weapons are there, and the offensive line is there, and Joe Tooney's contract extension confirms that. The only thing that Caleb Williams doesn't have going into season two is an excuse. There are no more excuses.
Yeah.
He had last year the crutch of a rookie season and certainly the reality of a coaching staff that was overmatched and underwhelming. And so you have now none of that. Now you have they drafted players to help the offense. The first two picks were offensive driven to help the quarterback. You have an offensive line. They went out and they allocated the resources to build an offensive line to protect the quarterback.
That's right.
You now have a scheme that is the envy of the league.
Proven.
And a play caller who was one of the best. You don't have any excuses. So that's the exciting part of it. And I think that's the focus moving forward. Is that not what Caleb Williams wasn't? It's what he can be. Now, is that having a blind spot? And no, I think it's just being practical and moving on, because Caleb Williams is capable of being the quarterback the Bears thought he was going to be when they drafted him first overall. Everything is still in play, and it's still in play because they activated the reset of Hallis Hall.
I totally agree.
And Ben Johnson is here to fix all the problems.
Yeah. It's listen, there's a lot more good than bad going on. And, you know, I think they should have the kid talk. It would make sense to me to just move beyond this story because it's a non-story. And I was talking to a guy at the Jewel who said, hey, what's going on with that? And I'm like, I don't think it's that big a deal. That's, you know, we just kind of, then he said, well, then why are you talking about it? I'm like, well, it's a story. I mean, it's not a yeah. non-story.
Well, the things that are NFL stories are going on in Minneapolis, the owners' meetings. It looks like the competition committee just tweaked the onside kick rule, and it just passed. So teams can now declare an onside kick any time while they're trailing, not just the fourth quarter, and line up 1 yard closer to the opponent. That just passed. And Jason Kelce, according to Adam Schefter, you know, the bearded Kelce brother.
I believe he's a brother to the current Kelce brother.
Yes.
He's a former center for the Eagles.
He is arguing on behalf of the Eagles to keep the tush pushed, not to ban it. I hope that he is successful, and hope he is persuasive and as good as he in the meeting as he is on his podcast.
What do you think? Why do you think he's the one to argue that?
Because he's the one who basically was the reason for it. He was the biggest reason the Eagles were good at it. Jalen Hurts, due respect, he made them good at it last year. But Jason Kelce, when they started this, the first tush push, if you will, if there was a copyright or a patent, he would be the one mentioned and the one maybe the guy who is the reason why it worked.
I would argue, and I'm going to be very interesting to see what happens with that, because word is that the league is ready to ban it. Again, it's a successful play that one team does successfully, much more so than anyone else. I even if you go to just a regular quarterback sneak, won't they win that?
Yes.
I don't know that it's that. That the pushing is that important to the play.
Leverage is the secret to the play.
Yes.
Getting better leverage and having a quarterback that has powerful legs and strength and power.
Exactly.
And all those kinds of things. But I still, that's why I think it's much ado. It's not about nothing,
no.
But I think it's overstated why it needs to be banned. I'm not sure it's a big threat to the health and safety of players. Which is George McCaskey's.
That is the excuse to ban it, but there is no evidence that that is the case. I get it. It's a physical play, but the reality is that you're not going to ban a QB sneak, right? So that will still remain, and they will still do that better than anyone else in the NFL.
6-3-0 says that Jason Kelce said in his podcast he's not going there to lobby. He said he doesn't care. He's going to answer questions anyone has. Okay, fine. But if you're there representing the Eagles, aren't you in fact sort of...
Not going there to lobby. I'm here to speak the truth.
Okay. And the truth is the play shouldn't be banned, right?
And you don't want it banned either.
I don't want it banned.
Listen,
no.
I know it's fun to blame Green Bay, but they don't have an owner, so they're the ones that can bring it up. There's a lot of teams that don't like it. I would imagine if you're Washington and you've improved quite a bit, you don't like it because you think that it's an advantage that you don't have. I imagine if you're Dallas and you feel like you've improved your team quite a bit, you don't like it because there's a team in your division that has an advantage. It's the same thing all over the place, but you don't want to look like the one that's protesting it, so you get Green Bay.
I don't understand these owners. I mean, they're unanimously approving flag football in the Olympics, and then they're going against the tush push. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's have a football conversation. Who are these guys arguing on behalf of this stuff?
You should get those owners to try it. That's what Jason Kelce should. Come on, everybody get up. You see, it's nothing.
Come on, George, get in the stance. Over here, Jerry.
We've got Layla and Marshall, I believe, and we'll talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.